Hello, this is Barbara Ridenour with the Decatur Herald and Review, dated Friday, March 13, 2026. We'll begin today's reading on the front page with Roadmap 2030, Decatur Schools. Forum gathers community input. Dennis family cites modular unit concerns, DPS to ramp up planning. Gavin Krim is an eighth grader at Dennis Lab School, and his mother, Kristen Krim, took him along when attending the Roadmap 2030 community meeting at MacArthur High School because he will be personally affected by the decisions. "I'm always interested in building on strengths," Kristen Krim said. "I think that's a smart way to approach any situation, but also, I think if you don't know what you're doing poorly, you can't fix it." The Decatur Public Schools Roadmap 2030 Committee has restarted the process of creating a strategic plan for the district with the goal of having that plan ready to present to the board and the community in May. On Wednesday, the committee held two public forums, one at Eisenhower High School and one at MacArthur, to allow community members to weigh in with their. The photo on the front page shows parent Kristen Krim placing a note of input on one of the four Phase 2 strategic focus areas at Decatur Public Schools Roadmap 2030 Open Community Forum at MacArthur High School on Wednesday, March 11th. Krim remarked on the importance of feedback. "I'm glad they made this a priority," she said. And there's Ms. Krim is standing in front of this large sheet of paper with an analysis, strengths, weaknesses, threats, opportunities, and then there's a list under each category. And there's post-it notes with people giving their notes and their ideas to it. And there's a student standing in the background. Maybe that's her child. Also on the front page is Macon County Sheriff, Root, sued by election opponent. Deputy Beck alleges his boss retaliated against him, cut assignments. The heated election battle for Macon County Sheriff just got hotter with the filing of a federal lawsuit. Deputy Shane Beck, who is challenging Sheriff Jim Root for his job, filed a multi-count complaint Tuesday claiming Root is violating Beck's constitutional rights and abusing the sheriff's office by punishing him for daring to mount a challenge in Tuesday's Republican primary election. Beck also names Chief Deputy Matthew Jedlicka in his lawsuit and claims that he's been active in promoting Root's candidacy for re-election. Among Beck's claims, which both Root and Jedlicka, I'm sorry if I mispronounce names, have said they strongly deny, are he was disciplined unnecessarily and as a punishment. Root removed him from a prestigious spot on the department's special response team, ended his assignment as a field training officer, and denied a shift command recommendation to promote him to the position of an assistant shift commander. A statement issued Thursday by Sheriff's Department spokesman, Lieutenant Scott Flannery, in response to the lawsuit said, "On March 11, 2026, the Macon County Sheriff's Office was made aware of a pending federal lawsuit in which Sheriff Jim Root and Chief Deputy Matthew Jedlicka were named as defendants. Sheriff Root and Chief Deputy Jedlicka categorically deny the allegations." Beck's campaign issued a statement saying he filed the lawsuit to fight back against acts by public officials that infringe upon the constitutional rights of an individual. The statement added, "We believe that those entrusted with the badge and the authority of the law must be held to the highest standard of accountability, particularly when their actions overstep the boundaries established by our nation's founding documents." Beck's lawsuit, filed in federal court for the Central District in Urbana, seeks unspecified financial compensation for economic losses involving salaries and benefits. The 52-year-old deputy, who joined the sheriff's office in 2016, claims in his lawsuit that he also has suffered mental hurt as well. Additionally, he has suffered emotional pain and anguish, damage to his reputation, embarrassment and humiliation, inconvenience, and the loss of enjoyment of life. There is a sharp focus on the Republican primary for sheriff because, with no Democrat challenger in sight, the race looks set to decide who gets the job. Beck has already sustained one major blow in his campaign when a mistake was not numbering his supporting election petition signatures led to his name being struck from the ballot. He is now campaigning as a write-in candidate. In local news on page A3, shooter's appeal denied. Decatur man serving 40-year sentence for attempted murder. On paper, at least, Decatur defendant Rajiv D. Rice's latest failed attempt to get out of a 40-year sentence for attempted murder had looked pretty good. He even had sworn testimony from the victim claiming if Rice had fired any bullets, it was only in self-defense. And he had lined up several other witnesses who testified the March 16, 2014 shooting that left the 21-year-old victim shot in the knee was actually a robbery ambush aimed at Raphael Kennedy, the driver of the car in which Rice had been a passenger. The witnesses who came forward after Rice's conviction said the defendant was shot at first and was not the aggressor in what turned into an exchange of gunfire outside an apartment building in the 3700 block of North Moundford Avenue. Rice was found guilty of attempted first-degree murder at a Macon County Circuit Court jury trial in August of 2014. Kennedy was also found guilty of attempted murder and sentenced to 27 years. Rice has since fought against his conviction with several appeals and claims. The shooting was a case of him having to defend himself and that he was really a victim, not the attacker. Each appeal attempt has been shot down by subsequent trial court and appeals court rulings, and the latest rejection came in a recent and unanimous 20-page decision by the 5th District Appellate Court. The appeals court didn't like that some of the witnesses, now willing to testify on Rice's behalf, had been serving time with him in prison before they suddenly felt an overwhelming need to prove his innocence. Justice John Barberis, writing for the appellate court, said that both he and his two fellow justices found no reason to disagree with earlier court rulings that concluded the witness's testimony was incredible. The victim of the attempted murder, Katari Smith, had also been the source for the claim the shooting had been the result of a robbery attempt. He had later filed an affidavit after Smith's conviction that stated, in his precise wording, that he wanted to be known that if the defendant was shooting in our direction, it was self-defense. Smith claimed other men who had been with him in his apartment had opened fire first. Prosecutors argued that Smith's new statement is bunk and lacked credibility. They also claimed that it was motivated by an attempt to muddy the waters about crimes involving gang violence, as both Smith and Rice were members of rival street gangs. The prosecution theory of the case, which prevailed at trial, was that Rice and his driver, Kennedy, both members of Decatur's West Side Gang, had gone to Moundford Apartments to target Smith in a revenge shooting. Smith, a member of the rival East Side Gang, had been blamed for an earlier shooting that had wounded a cousin of Kennedy's. Weapons later found in Smith's apartment were linked to that shooting. Kennedy and Rice led police in a vehicle pursuit after the Moundford Terrace gunfight and tossed two guns out the window before they were arrested. Decatur Police Department investigation showed the gun that had fired the bullet, injuring Smith, had Rice's DNA on its grip. The appeals justices, having earlier dismissed claims by Rice that his defense attorney had failed to represent him properly, concluded the evidence against him remained more than persuasive. As such, we cannot conclude that the trial court's determination was manifestly erroneous, where it stated that no credible testimony existed that would be of such conclusive character that it would change or probably change the result on retrial, said Justice John Barberis, writing the appellate court judgment. As for Smith, the gunshot victim in the case, he is no longer around to be cross-examined about the truth of his robbery claims. The 27-year-old Decatur man died in a hail of bullets on August 17, 2020, ambushed as he sat in a vehicle in the 1300 block of East Walnut Street. Coles County, Missouri man accused of grooming Shelby County teen online. This is from Mattoon. A Missouri man has been arrested for allegedly grooming a Shelby County 13-year-old online and then having sex with her at a Mattoon motel. The 24-year-old man from Columbia, Missouri, was taken into custody Tuesday evening at the Coles County Jail on preliminary charges of aggravated criminal sexual assault and abuse, as well as grooming and traveling to meet the child. These are all felony charges. Now, the Coles County State's Attorney's Office is reviewing the arrest report from the Mattoon Police Department as it considers what actions to take in court regarding this case. Mattoon Deputy Chief Ryan Hurst said the Missouri man allegedly groomed the girl on social media app Snapchat before picking her up January 17th at her home, taking her to a Mattoon motel and having sex with her there while knowing her age. He reportedly drove her back home the next morning. Hurst said the girl's parents reported the incident on January 22nd to the Shelby County Sheriff's Office, which referred the case to Mattoon police. He said the victim identified the man to investigators who subsequently located him in Columbia, Missouri, and obtained a search warrant for his home there. Two investigators from the Mattoon police carried out the search warrant, collected evidence, and arrested the man on February 11th with the assistance of local law enforcement there, Hurst said. The Columbia, Missouri Police Department was great to work with, and they really helped us out on that, Hurst said. He noted that the investigation is ongoing, and it's possible that additional preliminary charges could be added to the arrest in this case. ABC KMIZ News in Columbia, Missouri, reported on February 12th that the 24-year-old man was charged in Boone County with being a fugitive from out of state and was held without bond at the jail there. In state news, Northwestern to offer new AI major. Northwestern University will add an artificial intelligence major to its course offerings at the start of the 2026-27 academic year, joining other universities nationwide that now offer the specialization. The major will be offered in the Department of Computer Science at Northwestern's McCormick School of Engineering and aims to prepare students for careers in fields with high demand for AI expertise, including tech, healthcare, government, and more, according to the university's news release. And there's a birthday, Beverly A. Stein's 95th. Mrs. Beverly A. Stein of Decatur will celebrate her 95th birthday with a family gathering. Beverly was born March 13, 1931, in Kaufman, Kansas. She married Harold Stein on July 9, 1955, in New York. He is deceased. She is a veteran of the Women's Army Corps and is a retired caseworker of the Department of Public Aid. She's a proud mother of Paul Stein of Flagstaff, Arizona, Monica Stein of Mendocino, California, David Stein of Arlington Heights, and Linda Stein of Phoenix, Arizona. She has five grandchildren. In more local news on page A5, James Shoaff presentation set for Saturday. a presentation featuring Abraham Lincoln's relative and Decatur's most colorful newspaper man, James Shoaff, I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right, Shoaff, S-H-O-A-F-F, will be given by local historian and author Bob Sampson. The free event will be held at 2 p.m. Saturday, March 14th, at Rock Springs Nature Center, 3939 Nearing Lane, Decatur. The presentation will bring to light one of the more popular newspaper editors in the Civil War era, who spent much of his time in Decatur. Shoaff was related to Lincoln by marriage, but was a colorful and controversial character on his own merit. Sampson will explore how and why Shoaff and his newspapers were so popular. No registration is required. For more information, visit the Friends of Lincoln Trail Homestead State Park and Memorial Facebook page. Again, that's the Friends of Lincoln Trail Homestead State Park and Memorial Facebook page. And there's a small headshot picture of Mr. Shoaff. And the larger color picture of local historian and author Bob Sampson standing at a podium with a microphone. Hard Road looms in Roadmap Committee. Falling enrollment strains DPS footprint. District remap eyed. The first meeting to create five-year strategic plan for Decatur Public Schools, dubbed Roadmap 2030, began in October 24. Well, this is related to the first story I read. The process was put on pause last year after the committee's recommendations received a lukewarm response from the community. Meetings began again over the winter with some new and some original committee members again tackling the project, now split into two phases, one for academic and organizational decisions, one for building and facilities. The facilities work starts in June of coming up with a master facility plan, said board member Christina Tias, who is one of two board members on the committee. The other is Will Wetzel. That will not take effect until 2027, which gives us time. That phase between June into May 2027, so it gets into place in the 2027-2028 school year. Among the original recommendations were closing magnet schools, having one high school instead of two, and creating attendance centers with primary, intermediate, and middle school grades in their own buildings. The district is facing steadily decreasing enrollment based on demographic studies. The most recent of which was presented to the school board in January. That study, like two before it in 2018 and 2022, painted a bleak picture of economic and population decline, coupled with a low birth rate, with which all contribute to falling enrollment. Coming up with a plan that will serve the district's and students' best interest is not going to be easy. It's not like everybody will be happy, Tias said. The main focus is the foundation of it, which is our strategic plan. It doesn't matter what we do with the buildings if we don't have a vision and create a certain culture, she said. The first time around, both programs and facilities usage were part of the same process, said Cassie Mann, who has been on the committee since the beginning, and that was too unwieldy. Separating the two phases will allow more intense scrutiny of both phases. One thing that we've really been looking at is the way we've always done things and just is just convenient, or is this the best way to do things, Mann said. When we did a 1.0 before the pause, I don't feel like we did a very good job of that, separating. We were interweaving conversations together. Now that we're in again after the pause, we've drawn lines. What the best situations are for educational structures, and after that determine what the building structures will look like. The district has ample space for its current population of 7,740 students. A couple of buildings, such as Dennis Academy Current's home in the former Garfield School in South Shores, are overcrowded, while others, like Hope Academy, has 656 students in a building designed to hold 977. Demographer Preston Smith said his advice is to redraw district boundaries for more even distribution of students and to utilize existing facilities with no new buildings. Decatur schools would house an additional 12,625 students with the space it now has, and his projection is that within 10 years, the district will have space for 3,204 more students than it will have enrolled. In the next few years, he said, based on trends, about 80% of homes will have no children in them at all. Private school enrollment has increased by 33% since 2010, and the surrounding districts are also competing for students who might otherwise be enrolled in Decatur schools. Smith also conducted the 2018 and 2022 demographic studies, and in both of those, his predictions on enrollment were correct. The way I look at it is, it's a reality that we face, and it's out of control, out of the control of people on the committee, said Sam Mills, president of the Decatur Education Association that represents district teachers. We can't stop or slow it down. We have to make responsible decisions in reaction to the reality we see. Similar to district who see population growth, what new buildings do they need? We have the opposite problem. So how do we offset that? The committee needs to make responsible choices that respect stakeholders, parents, students, and employees. It's just a hard thing to do. But that's where that committee needs to focus and be responsible to all those groups. And photos that accompany this on page A5 show parent Jessica Taylor talking to Decatur Public Schools' Jay Marino during the Roadmap 2030 Open Community Forum at MacArthur High School on Wednesday, March 11th. And they're in what looks like a schoolroom, and she's shaking his hand, and there are several other people standing in the background looking at, in the next picture, the board that has some ideas on it. Community members leave input on the strategic plan that will guide the next 5 years of the Roadmap 2030 during an open community forum in the MacArthur High School auditorium on Wednesday, March 11th. It wasn't a classroom, it was the auditorium. And you see several post-it notes. One of them, you know, is pointing to a particular point on the printed board. And it's one of them that I can read says, "We have so many excellent educators here. Let's make them want to stay." And feedback needed from Fran. I can't read it. Why leave is a question mark. Why stay? So, and then there are other notes in the distance that I can't read. So. And there is a movie review by Bruce R. Miller of Lee Enterprises. Great Ending Saves Reminders of Him. It's rated PG-13 for some adult moments. He gives it 2.5 stars. There are plenty of questionable twists and turns in the first two-thirds of Reminders of Him. But then in the last third, Lauren Graham has a couple of moments that will make you realize she's much more than one of the Gilmore girls. She plays a hard-nosed grandmother trying to keep her granddaughter from meeting her mother, a woman who spent 7 years in prison because she was behind the wheel that led to her boyfriend's death. When Kenna, Micah Monroe, comes back to her small town, she can't find work, can't locate an old friend, and certainly can't get in to see her daughter, Zoe Kosovic. A bartender, Tyrick Withers, helps with the job and gradually realizes she's not the villain she's been made out to be. Romance blossoms, and plenty of stories get flashbacked until we realize it's a time for the reunion. And that's where Graham and the film shines. Director Vanessa Caswell goes through the motions for the most part, then gets an incredible performance from Kosovic, who makes every moment realistic and heartfelt. She cuts through Graham's shell and gives her a reason to drop the facade. Reminders of him has some of the surprise of It Ends With Us, another film based on a Colleen Hoover book. Hoover, however, wrote the screenplay for this one and handles dialogue nicely, even when the premise is flawed. Withers is particularly good, letting barriers down as he recalls his late friend. He's a good go-between, too, and brings out a humanity in Monroe and goes beyond dishwashing. While much could have been accomplished from the start, Reminders stretches the story to a breaking point. Thankfully, a stern Graham shows up and gets the snap back. The final scenes require Kleenex and excuse almost all the moments leading up to them, but there's still a nagging fear that the film didn't need all the really moments to sell the big cry. Today in history, on this date in 1781, the seventh planet of the solar system, Uranus, was discovered by astronomer William Herschel. In 1925, the Tennessee General Assembly approved the Butler Act, which prohibited public schools from teaching the theory of evolution. Governor Austin Peay signed the measure on March 21st. The bill was challenged in court later that year in the famous Scopes Monkey Trial. Tennessee ultimately repealed the law in 1967. In 1946, U.S. Army PFC Sadio Munimori was posthumously awarded the Medal of Honor for sacrificing himself to save fellow soldiers from a grenade explosion in Saravezza, Italy. He was the only Japanese-American service member so recognized in the immediate aftermath of World War II. In 1954, the pivotal Battle of Dien Bien Phu began during the First Indonesia War in Viet Minh. Forces attacked French troops who were defeated nearly 2 months later. In 2013, Jorge Bergoglio of Argentina was elected Pope, choosing the papal name Francis. He was the first pontiff from the Americas and the first from outside Europe since Pope Gregory II's death in the year 741. Pope Francis died on April 21st, 2025. In 2020, President Donald Trump declared a national emergency in response to the COVID-19 pandemic. And weather today will be a high of 52 with wind 15 to 25 miles an hour from the west. A late night flurry overnight, low of 35, winds from the north, 6 to 12 miles an hour. Tomorrow, breezy, flurry, wind, 10 to 20 miles an hour, high of 51, low of 45. Sunday, showers around, windy, wind, 20 to 30 miles an hour, high of 62, low of 18. And Monday will be cold, brisk and much colder, a high of 24 and low of 12. And that's all we have time for the first half hour of the Decatur Herald and Review, dated Friday, March 13th, 2026. This is Barbara Ridenour. Please stay tuned.